Hello. You are listening to CITR Docs Season 2. We're broadcasting from the ancestral and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people here at UBC. So last year, we kicked off a documentary series encompassing various perspectives on UBC's history in light of the institution's centennial. This year, we are blowing it up to encompass community itself as a concept, community as a whole. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be uploading two mini-docs a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, on our CITR iTunes and Stitcher accounts. For more information on this project, you can also visit citr.ca/docs. So, what is community? For us, it means local storytelling and critical perspectives for and by underrepresented voices. It means migration and habitation. Community can be talked about in reference to history and justice. Can even mean the intimacy of online communities. So that said, the first documentary for CITR Docs Season 2, which you are about to hear, is called The Life and Death of Jeremiah Zohair. It's produced by Claire Smale and Josh Gabbert-Doyen, and it is a stunner. Pay close attention. There is so much detail in this documentary. And although it tells a very human, a very personal story, it also asks some big questions. How is it that the internet can make you feel like you're sitting next to someone? Sharing moments with someone can make you feel something very, very real when you don't even know who's on the other side of the screen. And on that note, stay tuned.
A few months ago, Ollie Levy was sitting at home. He'd just gotten back from work, he sat down at his computer, he put on some music, and he opened up his Facebook.
He has a new message, and it's from someone in upstate New York, a complete stranger.
He says, "Hey, there's this person, Jeremiah Zohair, on Facebook that has been using all your pictures for the last 6 years, and is now dating one of my friends on the internet. On the internet, they've never met."
It's a catfishing. Somebody has created a fictional persona and is using it to date people online.
And I said, "That's totally wild." And he sent me a picture of this guy's account. It's a picture of me with my ex-girlfriend, Mara, my friend Shane, Dom, Andrea, Justine. We're all in the picture. We're having a good time. And that's the profile picture of Jeremiah Zohair.
Jeremiah Zohair is using Ollie Levy's identity.
Jeremiah Zohair is also probably the most ridiculous fake name that you could come up with.
Ollie gets this message and he doesn't really know what to do. So he starts stalking this fake version of himself and he finds all these other Facebook profiles linked to the account.
This Jeremiah character made over 50 fake profiles of all my friends, which is an insane amount of work. Not only did they make 50 fake profiles, they have to make 50 fake emails to go along with every account, of course, and 50 pictures that they downloaded, but not just one, they had a few of them just to make sure. So they did a lot of research. This person did a lot of research on me.
He starts taking screenshots and sending them to people because their photos have been used as well. At this point, Ollie's just trying to get a full picture of what happened. How far does this fake world go? He finds all these profiles of his friends, and just like Jeremiah, they're not real people. They're not actually his friends. These profiles are duplicates. They're distorted, collage versions of real people from his life.
In fact, you, Claire, and Josh both have fake profiles under random, totally weird names.
My name is Claire Smale in real life, but this profile had my name as Annika Parsons.
My name is Josh Gabbert-Doyen, but my profile was under the name Charlie Dupuis. Some of the pictures were my own, but it was mixed in with others of people I knew that kind of looked like me.
We both knew Ollie in high school. All the photos were ones on his profile, and because he had privacy settings that were more or less set to public, the person behind the profiles could download all the photos he had taken and just upload them onto other accounts.
This person did a lot of research on me, but it wasn't hard for them because my whole high school life was very public. Like I went to parties, I took pictures at parties, I would be annoyed by friends to post these photos by the end of the weekend. So it was like, you knew exactly what was happening.
And somebody was essentially mirroring this, because at about the same time that this was happening in real life, this person was pulling those photos off.
Exactly. This person was, for the most part, trying to live their own life, like with my face, but they were mirroring a lot of other kind of important events in my life.
When Ollie took a vacation, Jeremiah took a vacation. When Ollie went to a party, Jeremiah went to a party. And it's all been going on over the past 6 years without Ollie ever knowing about it.
It's a whole fake community, like a theater performance. All these profiles interact, commenting on each other's stuff, and they're all teenagers, so they interact like teenagers. They talk like teenagers. So as we go through the story, get that into your mindset, like what being a teenager is like, the drama, the angst. And one person made and maintained all of these profiles. Over the course of these 6 years, Jeremiah, this teenage version of Ollie, had at least two relationships that we know about. One of those was with this girl, Heather.
I felt like almost like I wanted her to ask me what my actual life was like. At the same time, she had formed a relationship with this person, Jeremiah, and thinking it was Jeremiah, but she actually did form a real relationship with someone. It just she just doesn't have the right name for that person or the right pictures.
So how much of this is actually Ollie, and how much of it is the person behind the fake profile?
Why is this person using Ollie's photos? Why would someone go through such lengths to hide? And why go through all the trouble to recreate Ollie's world?
Ollie gets his message, and he starts retracing Jeremiah's steps. He gets this message from Brian, that guy in upstate New York. And Brian has been investigating this with somebody named Bailey. They had both met Jeremiah 3 years ago playing an online game. It was a multiplayer online game, kind of like World of Warcraft, and there was a group of them from this game who became friends and chatted online.
We would like play movies like and try to watch them at the same time, like try to watch movies together, acting like how real friends would, but obviously it was not what I thought, in Jeremiah's case at least.
That's Bailey, talking to us from the East Coast of the US. The group chatted mostly on Skype, but Jeremiah never video chatted or talked on the phone. He just typed, which Bailey says was weird, but not that unusual.
This is a group of about 15 teenagers. And they're scattered across the U.S., mostly the Midwest and the East Coast. And they spend their evenings talking together, sometimes in a group, sometimes one-on-one. There's Brian, Bailey, Jeremiah, and then there's this girl named Erin.
Jeremiah and Erin start talking more and more. Eventually, they start dating. They go from talking all the time online to talking more online. They're intimate, they message, they text, but they never see each other in person. Jeremiah lives in Montreal, Erin lives somewhere in the States.
We don't know much about this relationship. Erin didn't want to speak to us for this story. Bailey tells us about one weird thing that happened, though. At one point, Jeremiah tells Erin that he's sick with leukemia.
I heard it through Erin, who said not to tell anybody, but basically, I want to say around a year ago, he said that he had gotten leukemia and he needed, like, bone marrow transplants, and it didn't look good, like he was probably going to die. And then I want to say like a month before all of this happened, he like told everyone he was in remission and that he was recovered.
So just like that, Jeremiah's better. There are a couple of major details like this that don't come from Ollie's profile and don't really make any sense. Are these clues into the person behind Jeremiah's actual life, or are they just made up?
These deviations are kind of what gets Jeremiah into trouble.
A little while after Jeremiah announces he's gone into remission, he sends Erin an audio recording. Now remember, up until this point, she has never heard his voice.
Erin thinks the recording sounds a bit weird, so she sends it to Bailey.
She sent it to me and I played it and it sounded like very robotic and fake to me. So I said that I thought it sounded fake and she agreed. And then we went back and looked at the Jeremiah Facebook profile. Like we noticed some inconsistencies I would have never noticed if I wasn't looking for it. Like the whole page was private except for one video and like three pictures. He only had like 50 friends, and if you clicked on his friends, they only had like 50 friends.
They don't confront Jeremiah immediately, because remember, at this point, it seems crazy. They've been talking to this person for months. But Bailey and the others do begin to notice patterns in the profile. They begin to think that Jeremiah may not be who he says he is. Here's Bailey.
Jeremiah sent Erin a link to a SoundCloud with him like singing, and Brian found the cover that Jeremiah was stealing from YouTube.
This was an unnecessary embellishment. It was a purposeful departure from Ollie's profile, and it ended up being a puzzle piece in Bailey and the others' investigation.
The person behind Jeremiah seems to be quite imaginative. They create scenes and complicated relationships between all these characters, all to help support the leading star, Jeremiah. If you look at how they come up with the names for these fake profiles, at times it seems almost like they're little jokes that play on the real names.
At one point, Bailey and the others start searching the names of Jeremiah's friends because they think that these profiles might be exact replicas of real people.
A comical example of this is Daniel Loner, one of the fake accounts. It's kind of a joke name. The photos from the account are photos from someone we actually know in Montreal named Daniel Lone. So here, the fake account is just one letter away from the real account.
Eventually, they get a match. They find someone whose fake profile name is the same as a real account. Somebody from Montreal named Anika Peterson. They send a photo of Jeremiah to her and ask whether she recognizes him.
And she does. She says it's Ollie.
They get in contact with him, and they tell him about the fake profiles.
They tell him about the two girls that Jeremiah has dated, and they suggest that he gets in contact with one of the teenage girls, Heather.
When I first found out that Jeremiah was in a relationship with this girl, Heather, I felt like I needed to talk to her. I felt bad. I felt like I owed her something.
What did Ollie say to you when you talked to him?
One of the first things that he said to me was, "I'm sorry," which kind of seemed crazy to me. I had no idea why he would be apologizing to me. If anything, I felt like I should be sorry because I had, like, creepily stared at pictures of him for long periods of time in my life. Like, I had pictures of this person I didn't even know printed out and framed in my room. I felt kind of weird talking to him. But he also reassured me that he was there to talk or if I had any questions. And again, I felt guilty. Maybe like secondhand guilt because I showed him pictures of this person's profile with like photos of his mom and his family and his friends, which I'm sure to him felt really invasive.
Let's start from the beginning. This relationship with Heather started long before Jeremiah and Aaron had ever met. It's 2011. Heather is a teenager living in a town in rural Massachusetts.
We met on Tumblr in a type 1 diabetic like tag. Yeah, I followed him first. We had, like, some mutual followers. He had posted stuff from accounts that I, like, was already familiar with, so that's how we got connected. I followed him, and he eventually followed me back.
And again, the question is, does this person behind Jeremiah have type 1 diabetes? Why is there such a fixation on health and vitality?
It's different from the leukemia story with Aaron, because Jeremiah is talking to someone who is essentially looking for support for her own type 1 diabetes.
It was the one-year anniversary of, like, finding out that I was a type 1 diabetic, and that's why I'd started on Tumblr, in that thread, looking, connecting with people, talking about my experiences. In my hometown, eighth grade is the first year of high school, so I was nervous about going into that. My best friend had just moved away to South Carolina right before I was about to go into high school, so I was very nervous, and I'd spent a lot of my time on the internet around then.
This is kind of where Heather's at in life when she starts talking to Jeremiah. But how did they get to know each other?
We just talked about like similar interests like music and movies and books and things. And from there, we just messaged back and forth on Tumblr for a while. And then he suggested we add each other on Facebook. And then we were messaging on Facebook Messenger a lot. And then again, he suggested that we text, and he gave me his number, and we started texting back and forth. Our friendship was like 24/7 texting. Like, I would be sitting in my classes in school, like, under my desk, texting him about what was going on in my day. At that time, if middle school me had, like, described her dream guy, it was basically that in a blog form. I thought he was, like, the coolest person ever. His sense of style, his taste in music, definitely his sense of humor. Right off the bat, he made me laugh all the time. And he was undoubtedly attractive. Like, middle school me thought he was, like, the hottest thing. And he was actually, like, seemed like a really genuine person, was honest and kind. That was something I needed at that time in my life. I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to at that point.
In retrospect, how this person came across as genuine is pretty incredible. It's clear that this is all still fresh for Heather, and that she hasn't completely rewritten the story. She still describes him as an entirely real person. And because she needed him at that point in her life, maybe rewriting him would be like rewriting herself.
How did you guys officially, like, start dating?
We decided to start dating. Well, originally he was dating another girl named Lizzie. And this is, like, when we were just best friends. We were talking all the time. And then he told me he was interested in this girl. And then they started dating. And I had contact with her Facebook profile as well. She had her own Tumblr account, which she had eventually, like, messaged me on. At that point, I definitely had liked him at that point, and I had to confess my feelings to him because he was my best friend, and so he was telling me about all the problems in his relationship and all the good things in his relationship, and I had to tell him that it was hurting me to listen to those things because I had feelings for him. And they broke up shortly after.
So this is another interesting question. Was this Lizzie character actually an online girlfriend or just another set of made-up profiles from Jeremiah?
I don't know how exactly we decided to start dating, but it was like along the lines of him saying, I don't feel like I need to say it, but like, will you be my girlfriend? And then he asked to change our relationship on Facebook eventually. First time he really told me what I meant to him. And I got that text at like 2 o'clock in the morning on a random night. And I was actually asleep this time, so I woke up to it. And basically he told me, like, I love you more than anything, more than the entire universe and more than life itself. And I'm honestly his best friend. And although that scared him, he'd never want anything to be different. He would never want anyone other than me because I was there for him through everything, even when things got scary, and I never ran away.
And then, as it would happen, Jeremiah told Heather that he had been diagnosed with cancer. She remembers he had started feeling weak and then had texted her after a doctor's appointment.
Jeremiah said it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which, if you'll remember, is a completely different cancer than the one he had talked to Aaron about. For his relationship with Heather, it seems like the cancer was a way of making things more intense.
I feel like he depended on me a lot. He leaned on me a lot as his best friend. He told me things that he said he couldn't even tell his twin sister. So that definitely solidified our relationship as like a very important role in both of our lives. That got to the point of like hostility, I feel like, because he was so dependent. I would lose sleep a lot of the time. I would be afraid to fall asleep in case I missed a text message from him or something at a time that he needed me and he would feel alone. I was definitely, I don't know, afraid about a lot of things, afraid about what was happening with him, what would happen between us if he got worse, and if his attitude towards me changed, if he didn't feel like I was his best friend anymore, I was the person that he could talk to. I was afraid a lot of those things.
And then things get even darker, and that brings us back to the question, why is the person behind Jeremiah doing this?
Towards the end, a lot of things got different. The cancer had spread throughout his body, gotten extremely worse, where the point where it gotten into his brain. He was going through brain surgeries. He was recovering from things like that, where I wouldn't talk to him for like a week at a time because he was in the hospital, but I would have contact with his sister. And then he was in a coma for about 3 weeks. When I was contacted by his sister in the middle of the night via text that he'd passed away in his sleep.
Did you have suspicions throughout the relationship that Jeremiah wasn't who they said they were?
Most of the time it was just Jeremiah being really defensive. Like, one of my friends from high school messaged him for guitar chords to a song that he'd posted on his SoundCloud. And he messaged me about it, and he was like, why is he asking me? Why isn't that something he can just Google? I didn't know, like, the answer to that. It seemed weird that that would be something he'd be upset about. And then there was a time where I was watching Catfish on MTV, and I, like, jokingly said, like, what if I was a guy this whole time, and I was just messing with you? And he got really upset and was like, why would you even say something like that? Like, you don't realize how important you are to me. Like, that's not even funny.
That is, to me, the most bizarre detail of this story. The two of them talking about Catfish, the MTV show. And his reaction is to be defensive. Meanwhile, he's created this twin sister who will later text Heather to say that he's died in a coma.
And then the biggest red flag was he sent me a book for Christmas and it came from an address in Ohio. I was like, that doesn't make sense. And he said that he had his cousin send it out from her house because it was cheaper or something ridiculous like that.
That seems like really bad planning on Jeremiah's part. Like, just with a return address, like, right on there?
Yeah.
God, that seems just really...
But I mean, from your perspective, I can so see how, like, you do have so much trust there, and you have shared so much, and this person shared so much with you. You kind of brush those little things off to the side.
Why did the question of seeing each other in person never come up?
I feel like because we always talked about it like it was going to happen. When I was a freshman in high school, maybe, or maybe a sophomore, he had supposedly taken a trip to New York City with his class, and there was a whole bunch of pictures from it posted on his Facebook page. So it didn't seem like it was impossible for us to meet, to me. It was always just a matter of when we were going to do it. And then he decided to go to school in Boston and was going to get an apartment with his friends. So that seemed like the time that we were going to meet officially. But then he ended up getting sick and couldn't leave Montreal because he had to get treatment. And I didn't have a passport, so I couldn't go to see him.
Fast forward 3 years. Heather's been trying to move past Jeremiah's death. And then she gets this message, just like Ollie, from a complete stranger.
Over winter break, I got a message on Facebook from someone I had never met, basically saying, our friend is talking to this person, Jeremiah, who we've recently found out is completely fake, not a real person at all, and we'd like some answers from you. I had no idea what to think. I had no idea what was going on. So I asked to talk to whoever, and they FaceTimed me and told me that their friend had been in a relationship with this person who claimed to be Jeremiah, but who had a separate Facebook account from the one that I was linked to. And this girl found the account that I was linked to, like, still listed as in a relationship with. And he had said that that account, he'd lost the password to, so, like, it wasn't his account anymore, like, he didn't use it anymore. And so I had no idea about this new account. Basically, at this point, I was like, well, this new account is either someone pretending to be my dead boyfriend, or this account is the same person who is pretending to be the person that I was talking to. And I didn't know what would be more upsetting to me at that point. When we first talked to each other, she explained to me that this Jeremiah that she had been talking to told her that I was a crazy ex-girlfriend who strung him along and cheated on him and used him and then pretended I was pregnant and went a little crazy. So he basically cut me out of his life. And to hear that kind of hurt a lot because that relationship had been a very important part of 4 years of my life. To hear that written off as me being a crazy ex-girlfriend was pretty upsetting. So when she originally talked to me, she didn't believe my side of the story, which was that I had dated this person for 4 years until he had passed away. It didn't really click with me that it was definitely the same person that we had talked to until we were sending screenshots of our conversations back and forth. I was trying to prove to her that I was telling the truth. I sent her screenshots of the text messages from Jen saying that he'd passed away, screenshots of text messages between me and Jeremiah. And she said, now I know that we're talking to the same person because Jeremiah told me never to say I love you to Pluto and back, because that was something Heather used to say to him when I had sent a screenshot of a text message that said that. That was like a very personal thing. It's kind of like you don't believe a psychic until they say something that they couldn't possibly like know about you. That was that kind of moment.
We spoke to them, by the way.
Here's Ollie again.
This is news to you guys probably, but we've spoken to them in the last few days. I haven't, but I had the people who contacted me talk to them.
Talk to the person behind Jeremiah?
The person behind Jeremiah. We found them, and they've admitted to everything.
Okay, so Bailey and the others end up confronting the person behind Jeremiah. They've tracked her down through an IP address. Her name is Shelby. The girl behind Jeremiah and all the other accounts lives in Ohio. She's not much older than we are.
The gender thing complicates the story.
But it's not a be-all, end-all explanation. There's a lot of other things going on here.
Here's Bailey again. We asked her why she thinks someone would do this.
Honestly, I have no idea. I asked her why she did this because I felt like she hurt a lot of people in doing that, because before she met us, she did it to other people as well. So when I asked her why she did it, she said she just wanted to be somebody else, but obviously that wasn't a very satisfying answer because it went on for so long and it was such a big thing to have somebody else's whole life as your own, I guess.
One thing that's hard for me to wrap my head around is just how much planning was involved with this. Jeremiah had mentioned the disease way, way before he killed himself.
Shelby knew that there was never going to be photos of Jeremiah going to some college in Boston. Did she feel like she was maybe in too deep?
Here's Heather again.
The levels that this person went to are just, like, crazy to me, because not only, like, embodying that persona, but having basically a dozen different personalities for different people. I did interact with multiple people from Facebook to Tumblr to the SoundClouds, the texting. These people all had different traits and different personalities and different ways of texting, and it was also elaborate. I don't know how. I just don't understand. I can't even fathom, like, the process of doing all of that. There was a lot of unnecessary drama in our relationship that was created by this person. Just crazy things to, like, just upset me because none of it was real, so it was all about seeing my reaction to the situations, I guess. I don't really know why someone would do something like this, other than they were desperately lonely. Just really wanted to have a real connection with someone. But then again, I can't even say that because these accounts were interacting by themselves in their own sphere before I even got involved.
It's hard to tell what's completely fabricated and what might actually be a part of Shelby's life. Seemingly, it would be impossible to keep track of all these lies that she had going.
The one thing I kept saying to my best friend as I explained all of this to one of the few people I actually told was that the rabbit hole is deep. The more I think about it, the more expansive it gets. And it's just crazy to me that there were so many profiles, so many different personalities, so many different fake people who had multiple social media accounts that were all interacting on separate levels for years before I even fell face first into this situation. This person had just created a web of lies that I found myself in.
This is something that stood out to me in the story as well. When you know that there's only one person doing all the writing, how these profiles interact feels very weird. There were serious arguments between the fake profiles. There were sexual dynamics. There are plenty of inside jokes, too.
Actually, can we go over something really quick? Can we go over some vocabulary?
Yep.
Was he pretending to be me, or was she pretending to... Yeah, was she pretending to be me, or was she just using my pictures?
I don't know. What do you think?
And that's, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, she did have all my friends. She had all my friends, so she was me, but they weren't Oliver Levy, they were Jeremiah.
It's an interesting question. It's interesting to think about it that way. Like, was she being you, or was she just conveniently using your face and the face of your friends to build lives of who she wanted to be?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like something when I tell the story, I have a hard time. Like, that's something I constantly go back on. I'm like, yeah, they were pretending to be me. Oh, no, wait. They weren't pretending to be me. They were using my photos, and they were being themselves, I think. I think she was being herself, just with under another name. Like, but it was still her. I don't know.
We tried to reach out to Shelby, the person behind Jeremiah, but received no reply.
For now, this is how the story stands.
I feel like I'm definitely more open to people in my life now, because the reason I feel like I got so involved with Jeremiah to begin with was that I was a very closed off person, and it was a lot easier for me to exist on the internet and interact on the internet. And coming from a small town, everybody knew me in high school, but nobody wanted to talk to me. So it was just a lot easier to make friends online. I think since this has happened, I'm a lot more open to people in real life. I'm more outgoing. At college, I've made a lot of friends. I'm more open to that type of connection because it's obviously I'm looking for something real now.
We'd like to take a moment to thank Ollie for telling us about this story and Bailey for talking to us. And a big thanks to Heather for sharing her experience with such honesty.
You just heard a doc from Claire Smail and Josh Gabbert-Doyen. It was called The Life and Death of Jeremiah Zohair. So you can hear it again on CITR's iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find it online at citr.ca/docs. The next upload from CITR Docs Season 2 is called A Fireside Chat with Julian Napoleon. It's produced by Mario Parent. And speaking of community, we are going from the online realm to the fireside realm, so it's a story of a whole other stripe. It's about Indigenous food sovereignty, and you don't want to miss it. Here's a clip to whet your appetite.
So, you know, I've been on this real long journey of, like, I need to go through this process myself. And it's become this huge thing in my life. And you know, the past few years I've been trying, going out hunting a lot on my own, and I always appreciate that time out in the woods and the land and in my territory. There's this thing, and you've probably experienced it, but when for myself, when I go back to my territory and I'm out on the land, especially by myself, and I take that time to slow down, I can like feel the presence of my ancestors. And I know that sounds like some cheesy cliche thing to say, but like, it is real. Like, I can feel it. And it's so powerful. Sometimes I just have to like sit down and take some time and just feel it, because they're there. You know, we've been there since time immemorial, since the time before time. And how could you not feel that? You know, if you have an open heart and an open spirit and mind, it's right there.